Time for Legal Briefs from Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti. Karen, good morning. Let's talk first about this ruling that everybody's talking about in the wake of that horrific blue line crime on the CTA. A court struck down an Illinois law banning firearms on public transportation. What was the basis for this decision?
Well, as we're seeing more and more now, the courts look back to the 1790s, and they say if there is a similar law that limits firearms, then we can uphold the law. But if there is no similar law back in that time, then we have to strike it down. And that's based upon what the Supreme Court used as their parameters for upholding and striking down laws. So if you think back to the 1790s, we didn't even have trains. We didn't have a train system. Mm-hmm. So how is there going to even be a law? So what's going to be interesting, Bob, is that some of our laws here in Illinois, we have some of the strictest laws for gun control, but there are laws that say you can't bring a gun into a school, a hospital, a public arena. And are those laws also going to be stricken because we didn't have a baseball stadium? So I think this is going to be very interesting. And it seems to me that if want more gun control, we're going to have to pass some sort of a global resolution or a constitutional amendment.
As far as this decision, there will be appeals here, won't there?
There will be, and it will go up to the Supreme Court, I'm quite sure. Kwame Raoul, our Attorney General, vowed to appeal it. But again, I think the court's going to use that same parameter. You know, were there laws back in those days? And if there weren't, it's going to be stricken.
Another court decision people are talking about, an opinion found that Shaquille O'Neal could potentially be held liable for promoting cryptocurrency and other digital assets. Now, these celebrity endorsements can be very lucrative, but folks have to be careful, don't they?
They do. And in this case, because it was cryptocurrency, the courts are looking at this as securities. And when you're dealing with a security, which is defined under the law, then the celebrities will have to report what they're making to the SEC. And none of them did it. And this is not just Shaquille O'Neal. This is Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen and a lot of other celebrities who also got on this bandwagon. So this, because it was a financial kind of thing and a security, it created a higher burden for these celebrities to do it. Now, if I were these celebrities, I'd be saying to my attorneys, who obviously looked over these endorsements, yeah, why didn't you tell me that? Why didn't you tell me that this was going to create a liability for me? So I think we're going to see more and more of these now because people listen to what celebrities endorse, and they have a right at least to rely upon the fact that maybe some due diligence was done.
Couldn't they write in legally in these endorsement contracts something that would protect these celebrities from something like this?
Yeah, like an indemnification clause, some sort of clause that would say, "Hey, if Arnold Schwarzenegger, if I'm sued because you now say this fat supplement is false, doesn't work, it's false advertising, then you have to indemnify me." That's obviously what they should do. And, you know, that doesn't mean that a third party can't come against Arnold to try to get money. But that's probably what's going to happen. And there's probably going to be a whole thing about due diligence. You know, before Bob Sirott endorses a hair tonic, you know, you're going to have to go through the paces and make sure what they're saying is, you know, not false, at least to your knowledge.
Yeah, well, I just wrote myself a note to call my attorneys over there at Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, get them working on indemnification clauses. What's the latest on the Amundsen High School dust-up with Amy Jacobson? And talk a little bit about First Amendment rights here, Karen.
Well, I hear a lot of this. It's like Amy, you know, as we all kind of saw here, made national news. She made some derogatory, motions and comments on her radio show about Tim Walz's son and his conduct at the convention. Mm-hmm. And she was very much criticized for that. And she is a coach at Amundsen High School, which is a public school. And that's where her kids go to school, apparently. And there was so much uproar that she was terminated. And I hear a lot of people say, well, didn't she have First Amendment rights to make fun of somebody? She absolutely does. And the government didn't come down on her for her radio show. But when the parents and the teachers and the administration saw that this was a disruption to their school, then they can do that. They can come in and say, You know, we don't want somebody here who's going to be disruptive, especially someone who's working with children and some who have disabilities. And again, she did resign, so that didn't come to fruition. But if push came to shove, the school would have had a right to fire her, because First Amendment, teachers have First Amendment rights to say things outside the courtroom, but if it disrupts what happens inside the courtroom, that's when the line gets drawn.
Got it. And finally, Donald Trump's last-ditch efforts to delay sentencing in that hush money case in New York. They said it was incorrectly filed. So now what? And what's the mistake his lawyers made, Karen?
Well, the case is set for ruling on whether that immunity, Supreme Court immunity decision, is going to vacate that judgment. And that's set for 16th. The 18th is when Trump is supposed to be sentenced. So what Trump's lawyers did was they filed with the federal court saying this should not be in state court anymore. This should just be a federal issue that deals with the immunity. Well, they made a mistake in filing. It was a real technical error in that they didn't designate it correctly, which is very strange because their lawyers are pretty good. So my guess is that it might have just been a way to try to delay the whole process. But the court is going to definitely rule on whether the immunity will vacate this judgment. That'll happen on the 16th. My guess is that the judge is going to uphold the jury verdict, and then on the 18th, he will be sentenced. And my guess is that if there's any sort of punishment, it's not going to happen until after the election, because I don't think this judge wants to, you know, get involved in punishing a presidential candidate prior to an election, which would be smart.
And the Trump lawyers wanted to move the sentencing from state court to federal court because of the Supreme Court's decision? Is that why?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, because if the case was a state court case, you don't remove it after the verdict. You ask the court to remove it, you know, before there's a jury trial. So I'm not sure what the basis is. It sounds like it's frivolous to me, but again, the courts kind of deem that to be frivolous as well.
More to come. Karen Conti, thank you. Have a nice day, Karen.
You too, Bob.